Session number 10111.
Squadron Leader Mansfield, Reel 3. When you joined the RAF, how did you find the RAF pilots, the British pilots, as compared with the Czechoslovak pilots?
Well, there were different aeroplanes to start with, so naturally we had to approach it gingerly a little bit. It wasn't such, we were not so mature. We had to go back more or less as a school, or rather retraining, not a school, retraining. Although we had a lot of experience, we didn't have experience on those aeroplanes. And we were given very good instruction by the British people, British airmen, right from the word go, into the details. They took us out, they gave us a dual flights, and explained everything as far as they could, because we couldn't speak very much English, but they could show us and everything. And actually, we started to fly, what's the name of the...
The type of aircraft?
Type of aircraft.
You mean Hurricanes?
No. And after we were...
You said they were Harvards.
Well, yes. First of all, we were divided into the Air Force, which went to Cosford, near Wolverhampton. And from there, we were sent to different units. I was sent to Sutton Bridge, which was the... fighter unit in Sutton Bridge, and there I started. I had three flights on Harvards. One was the dual, and the second two were with some other chaps, so that during the three flights there were three chaps tested, and the fourth flight was on a Hurricane, and that was that Hurricane. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Aerobatics, dogfighting, everything was there. Scramble, formation flying, scramble, aerobatics. Actually, this was already 7th of October. I was flying on a squadron, 7th of October. Hurricanes.
Could I ask you about the being in combat against the Germans in the RAF? Did you find that the Czechoslovak pilots who were in the RAF had a different attitude towards fighting the Germans from the attitude of the British pilots?
Well, I feel there wasn't much difference. Except we naturally, when we went to the fight, we said, "Gucho is down, good." Whereas perhaps the British said, "Oh, that was fine, that was fine." In our sort of mind was a little bit of hatred. It wasn't sportsmanship, as perhaps in... something else, playing football, something like that. This time we knew we were killing somebody, but with a, I wouldn't say pleasure, but with a satisfaction that it is somebody who fights against us. So that was the feeling of it. I never during my career, military career, during the war, had the guilty conscience to kill some of my enemy.
Do you think the British pilots were more cautious than the Czechoslovak pilots?
I wouldn't say cautious, but I'm sure, as we did, they were as much pleased to kill or shoot them down and not to be shot down. And they had the same satisfaction to be the victors as we were. Very likely, I don't want to sort of emphasize it, we had more satisfaction that it was one less enemy against the Czechoslovakia.
How did the British people take to the Czechoslovak pilots?
Well, it was, I should say, love affair at the first attempt, first go, because whenever we went, they said, "Oh, Czechs, yes, good. We are sorry, what happened to you?"
Did you ever say to them about the Czechoslovak displeasure of Munich, though?
No, we didn't. We just said what happened, and we were more or less told by the British people, "We are sorry about the Munich." And once it was said like this, there was no need for us to speak about it.
In the various examples of combat which you had against the Germans,
yes.
Are there any particular incidents that you could describe in those battles that stand out in your memory very well?
Well, when I joined the squadron, 111 squadron I was posted to, the squadron came from France and there were only four pilots on it. The squadron commander and two flying officers and one sergeant. And the rest, they were either shot down or transferred to somewhere else. Now, these two flying officers, when four Czechs came in, they had a very hard time with us because they had to teach us English. And although flying was all right, they had to spend a lot of time with us to teach us English, especially that which was necessary for contact with the ground stations, not the English with the girlfriends or in a public house, but that which was necessary for the military purpose. And naturally we had to get used to the hurricanes, and on one such a flight our leader in a leading hurricane was flying officer Peter Simpson, very nice chap, who had a great difficulty to teach me English. And we were flying between Montrose and Aberdeen when suddenly the ground control call us, said that there is a bandit over the sea near east of Aberdeen, and they gave us the direction, and we started to chase the we started to look for him in a formation, Peter Simpson, myself on number two, and Otmar Kučera, number three. That was another Czech there, and it didn't take us very long and we found him. So unfortunately the Germans also saw us, so he tried to get away. When I say unfortunately, it was on the other hand fortunate, because he's getting away further into sea towards the Norway, but we were faster, and all one after another, all three of us started to fire at him. So eventually he was shot down. But just before he was on the ground, I was in behind attacking him for the probably last time, and when he pulled up a little bit and I could see that he was dropping a bomb, and of course as I was at the same time firing, suddenly the bomb in front of me exploded and it hit one of my wings. I didn't know about it, but that's what happened. But he was shot down, and then we sort of circled around him, all three of us, until we saw about two or three May West.
May West.
Chaps got out from the aircraft and they just swam in with it. And it was Heinkel 111. And four people, or three at least, were sitting on a aircraft on a wing there and looking at us, and we just winged the wings and circling around for a moment until the aircraft started to sink, and we went back to our airfield, and our leader, Peter Simpson, sent the message what happened to the airfield, and they said, okay, we shall send the aircraft over there. As it happened, they sent the we returned to base, and they sent the aircraft on a sea and in a
flying boat,
yes, yes, small flying boat it was. I can't remember the name now of it. And they never formed them, the Germans. So that was the end of that, and that was our christening for the 111 Squadron. Heinkel shot down by all three of us. That was the beginning.
Could I ask you about something late in the war when the V-1s, the flying bombs, started to come over Britain, because I think then you were with 68 Squadron,
yes,
attempting to intercept the V-1s. Can you tell me how it was done?
Well, the V-1, well, actually I start from the middle on that. The V-1s were coming here, but naturally we got a wire service who knew that where they are coming from, and it was from the east coast of west coast of the Holland. They were mounted on the Heinkel 111. Heinkel 111 flew out in from the sea and released the bomb under certain conditions when it was and send it off to England. That was one way. Second way was to send it right from the coast of Holland or France or wherever it was, Belgium, and on a ramp and send it over to England that way. Well, when I was patrolling a sea east of Norfolk there and Suffolk, and was told the bombs are coming in, I just have seen it coming, because there's quite a lot of light from the bomb. So I just came behind it, closed one eye, because we were already told that it explodes, closed one eye and pressed the button and shot it down, and closed in, and it exploded in the air. And fortunately, it didn't affect my eye, so I was going back all right. But the first one I shot down was when I was stationed, I think the name of the station was Castle Camsden, somewhere near Oxford, in Oxfordshire. And we were told that the Dudelbach is coming that way. Would we intercept? So I took off with that time we had mosquitoes. I took off and my first turn east, and I could already see him coming. So I got behind him, shot him down. It wasn't difficult because he wasn't so fast at the time. He was mosquito was faster than me. Shot him down and landed, and it was all within 10 minutes. It was such a luck that he was so near to our station, but he was heading for Oxford that way. Whether he would have got there or not, I don't know. Now the second one, yes, then we had to go. We were told that they are no longer sending from the ramps on the shore, but they were sending them by flying them on the back of the aeroplanes on a Heinkel 111. So we were sent over to to Holland, west of Holland, and wait in the area where they should be. Well, we had to go very low over there, and because we had the instruments which told us that we were about 200 or 300 feet above the water, specially measured instrument, and waiting there for these people to release the bombs. But it didn't work really, because they came very quickly up, released the bomb, and it was faster than us at that moment, and we couldn't get behind. Nobody could direct us behind the bomb then. So it was tried only once and no more. So since then we just waited for the bombs on the coast, and the ground control told us where they are coming from. But I didn't have more. I had two of them, and I think it was two of them, not three. I can't really now remember, because it wasn't so important, the Dudelbachs. I know it was once there was a terrible barrage over the London, because there were the Germans coming in, and also these Dudelbachs. And I was just waiting there, suddenly one over me came, and I had no chance to go after him at all, although I turned quickly. So
what did they look like in the sky? Can you describe
just
them?
A flame, and a when we came behind it was a little aircraft with a lot of flame behind. So it was actually just the bomb carried by the ram engine, a ram jet, on a small wings.
How far away did you have to be to avoid being blown up by the bomb?
Well, it wasn't so easy to say, because the speed of the flying bomb were different. You could go after flying bomb throttling back, because it was too slow, let's say 200 miles or somebody, you could put all the throttle on and could hardly catch her. So when you were lucky, if you came in, just had a burst fly and pull away, have a look, and if nothing happened, you went back again, because you could see by the flame whether there is something happening or not. But when it went into pieces, it was either you got back the pieces on you or you didn't. And fortunately, I got away from quite all right without it. Especially the one which flew over to Oxford, the 10 minutes one. For takeoff, I just went 180 degrees back, turn, and there she was. So I make another 180 degrees, shot it down, another 180 degrees, and landed. That was that. And as it went down, it exploded on the ground.